When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Wild, wild Thursday night football game. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Falcons end up winning this one, but the Bucs have to be sick to their stomach. I mean, they had a three-point lead late, Pearl. They had the ball with less than 2 minutes left to go, and they could not salt away the game. You had a couple good defensive plays at the end by both teams, really, and you get a game-tying field goal from Younghoe Koo to put the Falcons in overtime. They win the coin toss, and then it's just a broken play as Kirk Cousins is moving the Falcons down the field. Drake London had a big catch, but ultimately it's Hodge. Like, a guy who comes in off the bench, just primarily special teams. He ends up coming in because Drake London got banged up and kind of shaken up on a great catch that he made over the middle. And all of a sudden, defender slips. 40-plus yards later, Hodges in the end zone. Falcons walk off with a win. It was wild.
Yeah, our friend Bill Simmons had a good line. The NFC South is drunk football. I mean, you just fast forward to Week 18. I think the Saints play the Bucs. That is, every team is exactly the same. I mean, they are three mirror images of each other, the Bucs, Saints, and Falcons. Right now, they're all going to be about 9-7 coming into that week. I can't wait. This is all of a sudden the most fun division there is.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Kirk Cousins, captain comeback, you know, take one from Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he's had these really close games, and aside from one of them against the reigning two-time Super Bowl champion Chiefs, and I guess the Steelers week one, but he's been delivering in these really big moments, which is funny because there's the Kirk Army, as Diana Rossini told us, Pearl, the Kirk Army.
I think it was a Kirk cult. Was it Army or cult?
Yeah,
cult of Kirk. Yeah. And it's a lot of these, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay coaches who love this guy.
42-year-old offensive coordinators, all of Kevin O'Connell. That Kirk is their guy. He runs the plays.
Yeah, he's their muse. And I don't think the rest of us really got it. You know, like, really? $100 million coming off an Achilles? Kirk Cousins?
But I don't know. I think everybody, a lot of teams probably wanted Kirk Cousins as their quarterback. The Achilles was a problem, but everyone knew in Minnesota he was good. He's good. He'll get you a lot of yards. He'll get you maybe 10, 11 wins.
Right, but that Minnesota team that made the playoffs was one of the fraud teams that we knew. I mean, you let the New York Giants come in and beat you in the playoffs at home. But the thing about Kirk is he never had this reputation, not of being a clutch primetime quarterback. And now that's what we've seen from him over the last, a couple weeks. 855-212-4227. It's definitely made it way more exciting. Now, I would say the Falcons are probably the one team that's not in on Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I mean,
every other team might have been
making
calls.
I don't know. Their number two receiver, Darnell Mooney, made a terrible, terrible mistake. It felt like, because let's face it, if the Bucs win this game, they get a big lead. The Falcons go to 2-3. The Bucs go to 4-1. I know they play again in 2 weeks. Like, all of a sudden, the Bucs have real control of this division. That was a huge game. I think Atlanta was in danger of falling way behind. I'm not going to do the math here, but by the way, the Bucs have won this division 3 years in a row. They were 13-4 with Brady. Then they won it at 8-9, and then 9-8. Oof. I feel like, and I'm sorry, I feel like that record's going to win it again because there's so much parity. They're going to beat each other up.
And we're going to have a lot of fun watching it. But Devontae Adams, again, probably the one guy who is not on the radar for these two teams. But again, I imagine a lot of people are making calls. Now let's hear from Derek Carr, shall we? Speaking of the NFC South. Derek Carr, obviously, long history with Devontae Adams, goes back to Fresno State. They tried to team up again with each other in Las Vegas. Didn't work out because the Raiders moved on from Carr. Carr was asked about Adams yesterday.
Me and Tay, our family, he's been one of my best friends, you know, and he always will be one of my best friends. And so we went on vacation, our families together, you know, down to Cabo and all those kind of things. Like, that doesn't change no matter what teams we play for. So me and Tay are always close. We always will be close.
Yeah, it's like, who gave him the idea to put a Taco Bell in his house? That was me. I'd start taking credit for everything. The Saints, Pearl, that's my pick for who's going to ultimately end up with Devontae Adams, but they're definitely not putting it out there. You know, this is more from the Adams side of things. It's not the Saints are not making anything public.
I think the Saints have some cap issues around this. Let me ask you a question. If I gave you the Saints and the Jets, which are Adams' two preferred destinations, or the field, which would you give more credence to?
I think the Jets are, it's just such a Jets move, right? Rodgers wants them. They'll do whatever Rodgers says. I don't know if Derek Carr is that kind of pull in the Saints organization.
Yeah, it's interesting. It does feel like they've been the only front runners. I want to see someone come in off the top rope and just come out of nowhere.
But who could that be? We've named a lot of teams.
Well, in this offseason was the Titans signed everyone. Now, they're not going to sign him, but the Jags or somebody weird who's just desperate. Obviously the Ravens make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What about the Steelers, the Cowboys, a team like the Eagles or the Niners who have a lot of wide receivers but have injuries? Maybe that makes sense. I think the best fit is a team that needs to win right now. For whatever reason, like, you don't bring an ad. There's no future here. He's about to turn 32 in December. So it's got to be the all-in team.
I mean, San Francisco would be scary. That's one of those, like, somebody else step up and keep them from San Francisco, please.
Yeah, but what's San Francisco's biggest problem? Health. Everybody gets hurt.
Yeah, but Devontae Adams, I know he's dealing with a hamstring right now.
A 31-year-old receiver.
I'm dubious about that hamstring. I think he gets traded and miraculously he's going to be ready to go. I'm not calling anyone a liar. I'm just saying.
They have a lot of older players who they're worried about their health. I think do they really want to add another one into that mix?
Oh, but they also have Ayuk. They also have Jennings. I mean, they've got guys.
Jennings. Now they have guys. Right. I mean, they have Trent
Jordan
Williams,
Mason.
36.
These guys aren't. Purdy is super young.
I don't know. They feel, every year we come in this and we say, if the Niners can stay healthy. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't love the Niners. I think the Eagles are interesting, too, because they have two of the highest paid wide receivers in the league, and they're apparently interested. So where this cap money comes from, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't believe the Eagles part. You've invested so much in your wide receiver room already. You have two of the highest paid receivers, in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You're going to bring Devontae Adams in?
I didn't see them on the field last week.
Well, but they're going to be back. They're not dead.
Yeah. What about, let's go off the board. What about the Browns? Man, they could use him.
Do you think Devontae Adams has any say over where he goes? Because
he does not have a no trade clause.
Right, but would he block anything? I don't know. I'm not sure. But would the Browns be a place he's like, I don't want to go there and be in that tough division? Deshaun Watson doesn't look great. Even though they throw a lot, but he still doesn't look great.
Watson looked pretty good last week. I think he had one of the highest PFF
grades. Yeah, but the
Raiders
beat him. Devontae Adams just watched it. I don't know. Does he want to go to the Cleveland Browns?
I don't even know if Devontae watched that game. But Watson hit a lot of receivers in the numbers, and the ball hit the ground right afterwards.
Looking at you, Amari Cooper.
What's that?
Looking at you, Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I think Cooper, I tweeted this, trying to drop his way out of Cleveland. I just think that it makes so much sense for the Jets. It doesn't make sense for the Saints, but there's got to be 20 other teams that are looking at this. Well, if we can get him for a third-round pick, why not? I'm really curious. Do you think during every game we're going to hear Devontae Adams' name?
Probably. They'll broach it. And I think that's fine because the team has kind of, you know, leaked it out there that they're open to this. So it's not... I don't think the NFL would say or broadcast networks would say, hey, let's stay away from this story. It's a massive story.
Yeah, we should do a drinking game. Every time some non-Raiders game mentions Devontae Adams.
Be in a coma.
Jets-Vikings in London, so we can start drinking 9:30, because that's going to be the main storyline. I know the Steelers.
6:30 a.m. on the West Coast. It's a really
The Steelers Cowboys, right? I mean, that is going to be a Davante Adams fest. That's all they're going to be talking about.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The Cowboys keep saying no, no, no. At some point, I'm going to believe them.
Why would you believe the Cowboys?
Because they haven't signed anybody or done anything.
That
their
is
own
true.
Guys. Their own guys, they did. But, you know, you had Stephen Jones who said, listen, we already have a wide receiver one, and that's CeeDee Lamb. So we're not going to bring another wide receiver one in. I believe he referred to this as a long putt. It'd be like making a long putt.
Yeah, that's a good point. But how about
is it like landing a helicopter on the practice field?
Which one's harder?
How about Monday night Saints Chiefs? I mean, that is going to be a Davante Adams fest. Saints, I mean, the Chiefs, who knows who their receivers are?
Yeah, you and I will always disagree about this. I think there is something sacred about not trading within a division when it's someone who's this important. You want to make minor trades here and there. You want to sign a guy off a practice squad to give you a little intel on what the team's running and stuff like that. Okay, that's fine. But you're telling me that the Chiefs and the Raiders would really trade with each other for Davante Adams? I thought this feud meant something. I thought this rivalry meant something.
But you could easily argue that the Raiders could look at this trade and say, well, this is going to weaken the Chiefs in the future because it will.
By a second-round pick or a third-round pick?
Yeah, so they'll have one. If they got a second-round pick, that'd be one less second-round pick for the Chiefs. And Davante Adams is going to be gone probably in 6 months. So you would say, okay, we're doing nothing this year, and we're weakening our biggest rival. It's kind of a win-win. That would be a timeline issue, right? Like, Davante Adams is not going to help the Raiders this year, and the Chiefs need him desperately. But next year, the Raiders are probably sick of the Chiefs picking up these defensive players in the second round and kicking their butt. I think there's a logic there.
Okay, but you're going to potentially hand the difference maker, especially with the news that Rashi Rice is going on IR, and we don't really know what's going on with his knee. It's been weird reports out of there. We don't know the severity, but he's on IR. You're potentially handing a three-peat to biggest division rival.
Yeah, I got news for you. You're not doing anything to stop that anyway.
Oh, come on. I mean, I hated it even when my Buffalo Bills are trading with the Chiefs during the draft and basically handing them Xavier Worthy. I didn't like it when, you know, you trade Stephon Diggs in the conference. You know, I don't, maybe this is a me thing. Yeah. I don't like it when you basically give someone you may see down the road in a big, big game, a game that means a lot, you're just going to hand them, you know, one of your great players or a great player on a lottery ticket, a third rounder, something like this. A fourth rounder, fifth rounder means nothing.
Yeah, but don't you want to do something that it's going to, I mean, the point of a trade is to beat the other team and to weaken the other team. Get something good from them in exchange. Cowboys and Eagles traded Devontae Smith and it turned out to be Micah Parsons.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a thing anymore. Also, too, if I'm the Raiders, I'm like, oh, the Chiefs, you want to do this for an old guy who's only a rental? I could live with that. Because what are the Raiders? What's the expectation this year? There's no championship expectation, and the Chiefs are probably going to the Super Bowl anyway, so why not take the pick? I completely disagree with you on this.
Oh, I don't like it. 855-212-4227. Mike's our pal in South Carolina. Mike, you a happy Mets fan today?
Oh, Maggie, forget it, man. Forget it. The classic games I went to, I'm 70 now. And college baseball, last game of the 69 series, and Pete Rose I met, you know, I told you to dust up. But the mojo. And I'm, my phone was imploding last night from friends who are Mets fans.
Yeah.
And
it's
you know what?
Night.
You got to stick with your team. I love meeting people who are like fair weather fans. I'll never stop being a Jet fan. When I saw Joe Willie in my green and white at Hofstra, I grew up 10 minutes away from Hofstra. But you know what? All right. I'm sure you got plenty of callers, Maggie. So keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much. Just a happy call. Just a happy check-in from a Mets fan. And I don't know how Jets fans are feeling right now. Probably fine. But Pearl, this is a big deal. It's a big deal for our show. Forget the baseball.
We have a looming issue, though.
We're a national show. If we're going to give Phillies Mets a lot of oxygen, we have to pay attention, close attention to all the other series,
oh,
to be fair.
We're all in on every series. I just feel like the personal stakes around here could get a little, you know, like close to home.
There's an issue looming, though.
What's that?
Remember, Perloff cannot root for the Phillies.
Was that set in stone?
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that.
Because he said that he did not like this team. I'm quoting these words. I don't like this team.
I would bet. In fact, I will bet a lot of money on the Mets this year.
No.
I just hate it when he does this thing.
It's not even the Mets and Phillies. I just like the wild card team. I mean, it's the way baseball is trending in such an obvious way. I mean, if the Brewers had won last night, too, I would have probably liked them. Like, look at the way it's going. I mean, there's just like the Phillies were up 3-2 over the Diamondbacks in the championship series last year, and they blew it. Like, this sport is bananas right now.
He's doing that thing.
I'm not even doing that thing.
Great.
What would you say if you were a Phillies fan? Like, look at the way they played the second half of the season.
You had one of the best teams all year. On paper, you have the way better team. You've got better pitching. You've got better hitting. You have way more experience in the postseason with this group.
You should not
be scared right now.
Have you been in a coma the last 5 years of baseball? None of that means anything.
Yeah, but the pitching does. I'm sorry, it does. Mm. Yes, Jeff Francoeur joined us earlier this week. He said, when you don't see live, live pitching as a hitter for a couple days, it definitely messes with you. But having your rotation healthy, the Mets had to burn their game, which would have been their game one starter for this series, to close the game yesterday. Like, this is all setting up like gravy for you. But yes, Padres, Dodgers, we know blood feud. The Royals and Yankees actually have a bit of history, which is fun. And Tigers, Guardians, the Tigers might be the best story of the postseason, along with the Mets.
This might be the best setup for the division round. Maybe you wouldn't want the Astros in there and see if they can get another crack at the Yankees. But otherwise, I mean, this is what you want, right? I mean, you got two division rivals in the NL.
Got stars,
a division rival in the AL Central. Yeah. Like, you got, you know, Bobby Witt Jr., superstar emerging, going into Yankee Stadium. I mean, this is box office. This is cinema.
There's really not. I mean, is there any big star who's not here that I'm? Because the biggest stars are Judge and Shohei, and then I think next level you got Bryce and Tatis,
Alonso,
Machado,
and Lindor. It's great players.
That's a good point, Bobby Witt. You're right. This is cooking.
Andrew, you like the Royals over the Yankees too?
What's that?
You like the Royals over the Yankees?
I went on a local show and I said, I'll bet you anything the Mets get farther than the Yankees. For the exact reason I'm telling you. Yes, wow. I do not like these favorite series. I'm telling you. I've been in New York a long time. There's something about the Yankees I do not trust in the postseason. I mean, it just feels like there's something missing.
They can make it out of the division series.
They don't love them against the Royals.
I'm asking you guys, because you guys...
If they don't meet the Astros in the CS, then who knows?
But basically, with the Yankees, like,
Red Sox.
There's so many years where it looked like they were in great position, but why? What's the missing ingredient? Is it a manager thing?
Oh, no, Soto. We have Soto now, so...
Yeah, well, it's been not being able to get timely hits was the first and foremost. And I think there's another part, a second level thing with the Yankees, just to pause on them for a second, which is their pitching like patterns got very predictable. So they were throwing guys out at the exact same time, like the exact same moments in the game, and they just got very predictable to the point where hitters were catching up with their guys. It was like nothing surprised about
it. Well, why would this year be different?
Might not be, but they have a way better. Do they have a deeper lineup? No. But do they have a better lineup? Yes. With Judge and Soto.
Just because Soto being there.
Yeah. And Soto's proven it in the postseason.
I'm curious, in this postseason, is it a bust for baseball if you don't get Yankees Dodgers? Like, that's just we talk about making this as big as possible in terms of baseball and talking conversation. Like,
yeah.
You get the Mets. That'd be big.
So then now I'm going to try to pull a pearl off here and be like, you know, I know what this would do for this city if you have Mets Yankees, but like, does the nation care about a
Subway
Series?
I don't think so.
I don't think 2000 did the numbers they would have thought.
I don't think that the Mets play. The Yankees are one of the most historic franchises that we have in sports. They're a crown jewel franchise. The Mets are not that.
Well, there's only really one, and I don't even know if this is still true. There's only one franchise that moves the ratings, the Yankees, but Shohei would be a big deal.
Would be a big deal.
So I think that really, like...
So you think Shohei versus anybody could still...
I think you're right, Yankees, Dodgers. But if Shohei wasn't a Dodger, then I think you could make an argument that the Mets were close. I don't know. I just think that there's a certain mystique there. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
I mean,
that'd be a good poll.
Honest,
which would be a better World Series matchup?
Listen, everyone wants Shohei. We all want Shohei. But to be fair, like, the Padres have a lot of stars. It's a lot of household names there. So I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world. If you had Padres, Yankees, I don't think that's a bad rating.
Hmm. I don't know.
I mean, in theory, yes, because Tatis is a household name.
Machado, he's a lightning rod.
Yu Darvish is an international star. So, like, yes. But I don't know.
It's not Shohei. Nothing Shohei.
Yeah, something about just, like, you're right. It's not Shohei. And he's a different, he's a rock star. He's on a different stratosphere.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the guy is first 50-50 guy, almost won the Triple Crown. And the fact that we know in the back of our mind that he can pitch. Like, there's a lot going on there.
855-212-4227. You know, if somehow the Dodgers make it to the World Series and win and Shohei has, like, an unbelievable postseason, do you have to say addition by subtraction, no Ipe? The interpreter?
No.
Who's going to be facing lots and lots and lots of jail time for bilking a Shohei out of millions of dollars to cover his gambling debts? He was like the bad mojo guy.
I love
all that losing.
Your effort to bring it back to Ipe. And by the way, isn't this the worst Dodgers season in a while?
Yeah, but here they are.
Yeah, no,
they won
I know.
98 games.
Yeah,
I don't think
feel
it's the
like,
worst Dodger season.
Let's see. Okay, yeah, no, but they definitely, like, this was not, yeah, their worst season since 2018.
Not that
so
long.
You can't say the Ipe thing.
The Ipe stink is off of them. 855-212-4227. Who gets the first jailhouse interview with Ipe? And is he betting on the
can
series?
You just drop
now
it?
He can just bet on the series, though.
Can you just drop the Ipe thing, Maggie?
No.
It's not going to happen.
What? It's happening.
If there's nothing, it's not going to become the Zapruder films of baseball.
No, I just can't wait until FX or someone does one of these, like, what they did with the OJ trial and other, you know, David Schwimmer is playing, I don't know, one of the Dodgers.
I was more interested in thinking about what show, who gets the first interview. I was thinking 2020, maybe.
Is 2020 still on?
Yeah. New episode came out last week. 47th season.
That was such a big deal with Barbara Walters and Hugh Downs when they did that show.
Now you got David Muir holding down the fort.
Is it still basically just the same thing, just a murder mystery unsolved?
Yeah.
No. That's
or I don't know if that's used
the other Dateline.
That's Keith Morrison. Yeah.
I think they just do any kind.
Why
of
was
weird.
She carrying a suitcase through the lobby? That's my Keith Morrison. 2020 does way more than just murders, right?
Yeah, 2020 does more than murders. Yeah, it's just all. Yeah. Like investigative journalism.
I mean, if you accidentally have me sit down with a Dateline on Friday night, you're not going to talk to me for 2 hours.
Do you know how long those shows are? It's always sneaky.
They are long.
Where it's like, all right, you got me in on Dateline. Why is the husband the suspect? How come they were upping the life insurance 2 days before she disappeared? I mean, it's all the same beats, right? She disappeared out of a parking lot in the middle of Arizona or something. It's always the same.
How many times has a second husband pushed a woman off a cliff on Dateline? Hundreds.
Or just, it's always the life insurance. Like, how have the criminals not realized that this is the bad move? You don't increase the life insurance 2 days before your wife disappeared. Anyway.
Great point.
But it always takes 2.5 hours to tell the story. It's like, we know.
Yeah. It's always captivating, too. No, I disagree. I think that is the perfect formula.
Don't you always hate the when you do the documentary series where you're watching and you're like, oh, wow, they're not talking to the person they keep talking to. Maybe.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's dead. And then you get the shock that he's not dead. It's right. Just won't talk, or he's in jail and we couldn't get an interview.
Yeah, but how about when you see the husband and he's not in jail? You're like, oh my God, David didn't do it. It was somebody else.
Yeah.
He always did it.
No. But sometimes you'll have him interviewed and it's like all of a sudden he's like interviewed in his living room. You're like, oh my God, he didn't do it. It was somebody else. I know the beat to that show really well. It's not always the husband, Maggie. It's sexist.
It's always
there.
The husband. 855-212-4227. Okay. Baseball, that's what we were talking about. You're welcome to weigh in, by the way. Does this have to be Shohei, the Dodgers versus the Yankees? 855-212-4227 for this to really pay off in the fullest for baseball. But is that the matchup you want to see? I didn't see this story coming, and I feel like I'm pretty good about this guy. Been in our lives for a long time as a sports figure. I feel like I kind of know his every move. Didn't see this one coming. We'll tell you next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Oh, my God, this is the best time of year. We have so much football, so much baseball. Actually, it's funny. The NBA is right around the corner. NHL right around the corner. This could be a really challenging weekend, Maggie. We got a lot of logistics.
College football. Hello.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Saturday's going to be busy. Saturday's a bit of a doubt, but there are actually some really interesting games, possible upsets. And then Sunday and then Monday. I have a complaint, though. Like this, we're in the early show now. This is going to be tough.
It's not about us, Pearl.
No, it's going to be tough, Maggie. We could talk about it, because it's going to be a very interesting next month. There's going to be some tired and maybe sleep drunk people. You know when you get 4 hours and your team won or lost?
Yeah.
We're going to say some weird things over the next month. I'm just telling you right now, there's going to be some bizarre conversations on the Maggie and Perloff show.
I think I already accused the San Diego Chicken mascot of being a pervert. I think we're already there. We're here. But I'm not waiting for anything, allegedly. Not the real guy, just the character of the mascot. I were there. I'm already on no sleep. This is what is called grit, Pearl.
Yeah.
It's not just for Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. It's about us. I'm looking at every one of you.
But the thing is, too, no game, any sport, it could be two outs in the ninth inning, and that game is totally a toss-up right now. These closers are all terrible. And the NFL, good luck deciding who's going to win any game. With a minute left, it's a total toss-up.
Andrew is our pal in San Diego. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How's guys going?
We're doing well. How are you feeling about your pods?
Oh, I'm feeling great. I was just calling in because I think it would be a real fun matchup, between the Yankees and the Padres. I think there's plenty of storylines there. I mean, granted, I'm a homer, but yeah, you got Manny, you got Tatis, you got the rising star, Jackson Merrill, who's, been doing well all season. But then you got Kyle Higashioka, Michael King, who's just absolutely on fire right now going against.
Yeah, all the people came in the Soto trade.
Yeah, exactly. I think it would be plenty of nice storylines with the whole team playing for our owner who passed away, unfortunately. And
yep.
Andrew, if I could give you this bargain, Andrew, I'll give you a definite win over the Dodgers, but then you lose the World Series. I'll give you that right now. Would you take that, or would you rather take your chances the whole way just to beat the Dodgers?
I'll take the chances the whole way, of course.
It'd be fun to beat the Dodgers, though. You have to admit that.
I mean, it would be fun for sure. Yeah, that's the first step, but we're trying to go all the way.
I like that, Andrew. Don't fall for his games.
Well,
don't fall for these weird making a deal with the devil kind of things. You're better than that, Andrew.
I just feel like beating the Dodgers is, again, for what they beat him in 2022? That would be really fun. for Padres, just to own their division rival.
It's
a bunch of fun, but going all the way is just what it's all about. That's the goal for every team. So
yeah, if you lose to the Dodgers, Andrew, you're going to regret not taking that bargain.
No.
You're going to look back
Andrew,
on this morning
confident.
And say, I should have done what Perloff said.
No, don't fall for Perloff's mind games. You know, try to
what if
just
I gave you
enough.
The same bargain? You're a giant Mets fan. You'd love to beat the Phillies. What if I gave you that bargain right now? Would beating the Phillies be satisfying enough for this postseason?
That team's on a roll right now. What are you, crazy? Let's go to Josh, who's in Philadelphia. Josh, how you feeling about your Phillies?
Good morning. Good morning, Miss Gray. Good morning, Mr. Perloff.
Hello.
I really hope the Phillies can win, but I don't know what you think, Mr. Perloff. It really seems that the Mets have the Phillies' numbers.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like great mojo. It feels like the Mets are the Phillies of 2 years ago, right? Like, they feel like they just, I don't know, like they like each other. They're a fun team. I kind of don't like the way it's setting up. The Phillies, something feels off the second half, right, Josh?
Oh, it definitely does. And if I can make my pick for the World Series, I'd like to see the Phillies and the Tigers. So I really think the Tigers deserve to go to the World Series.
That'd be awesome.
We're talking about, that's not, you know, listen, the Tigers have been an unreal story, Josh, thanks. It's not the star power of the Yankees or the Padres
or
the Dodgers.
Anybody.
It's like, and they kind of pride themselves on that. I mean, they have the AL Cy Young winner, but they are likely, but it'd be very, very different. So the one maybe thing to look out for, Philly's pitching is really good, right? Mets have been good against their top two guys. That's probably the one thing that I'm looking for. But has this become a Philly thing where you guys get off to these really good leads and then sort of fading a little bit down the stretch? That didn't used to be a Philly thing, but the Eagles last year, and obviously the Phillies didn't fade, but you're all worried about them now. They were one of the best teams in the National League.
Do you remember the All-Star break? They came into the All-Star break just so hot. I knew then, I'm like, oh, the second half is going to be dicey. It's just, maybe it's just baseball. Yeah, you're right. Eagles definitely did that. Sixers are, I don't know if they do that. No, I don't think that's a Philly thing. I do think, I mean, maybe it's a long season in baseball. It's really hard to keep your pitchers fresh. And I think Thompson just uses the starters too long a little bit. That being said, who knows what's going to happen here? This is going. Don't you guys see like the closest series, the most dramatic, like painful way to lose? I do not see an easy series. I see this game.
Not enjoying this at all, huh?
No, I feel like this is going to be six or seven games and totally late inning swings, which I guess is great. But we went through every series. Every series seems like it could go totally down to the wire.
It's awesome. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us this morning. What's up?
Good morning, everybody. These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MNP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. They are not the Mets, but the Falcons are good at dramatic wins as well.
Here's Mooney in motion with Cousins, and they're going to gun it, and it's caught to Daryl Hodge. 35, 30,
take it, baby.
20, 15,
take it,
10, 5, bang. Drive home safely. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the game, Kadarrell. Are you serious?
A walk-off for Kadarrell Hodge and the Falcons.
That's Wes Durham on Falcons Radio. Kadarrell Hodge, a 45-yard catch and run to end Thursday Night Football, 36-30 over the Bucks. The Falcons have now trailed in the final minute of regulation in all three of their wins. Last night, they needed a 52-yard field goal from Younghoe Koo as the fourth quarter expired just to get to OT. Head coach Raheem Morris giddy after improving to 3-2.
I can't say enough about the players. I can't say enough about the offensive staff. I can't say enough good things about our organization and what they do for us, our culture that we've built around here. And it didn't start with me. It's been going on for a long time, and I'm extremely excited to be a part of it.
Kirk Cousins threw for a career-high 509 yards last night. The game winner was his fourth touchdown pass.
That actual soundbite, by the way, did not really sound excited. It sounded more measured.
But he's, I love this, I love that, I love
no,
the
I know,
culture.
But he didn't sound, I didn't hear excitement in his voice.
Like
I heard,
he didn't like, have the job still.
Yeah.
Please,
like,
don't fire me.
I'm very excited. Yes, I'm so excited right now. Like, that's not excitement.
It's like, kind of like somebody who, instead of laughing, just goes, that's funny.
Yeah. That's the worst.
It's the worst. Just laugh.
Sometimes you do that.
I do that?
Yeah, I do that. That's something I know I do. And I'll defend myself. I feel like... I feel like there are some things that aren't laugh out loud funny, but when you think about them, you're like, oh, that was like, I think of them as clever almost. Like, that's clever. I like that.
If you show your friend a clip on a phone and they say, that's funny, that's like a dagger. And they don't laugh, that hurts because you know they're faking it.
You're right. EJ and I both do that.
Yeah, you definitely do.
I'll point at something and go, that's funny, and I won't laugh.
Oh, I believe me, I've taken notes on this one before.
Oh, no. And you use this moment to bring it up?
Sorry, Pearl.
No. I started doing it, too. I think I did it this morning.
That's funny.
It's rubbed off me. That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Or, yeah, it's tough. Humor is subjective. Let's put it that way. But that's funny is like saying that's not funny. And Raheem Morrissey saying I'm very excited meant that he's not excited. People don't say what they mean. We all know that.
Hopefully he can be more excited than that. If that is his excited, then I feel bad for him. If that's the best he's got.
I mean, Todd Bowles, on the other, have you ever heard him get excited? The Bucks coach?
Has he ever had a reason?
I mean.
They did win divisions.
They beat the Eagles last year. That's true.
He coached the Jets. I mean, come on.
That will suck the life right out of you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's never not won that division.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
It is. That is funny.
That is funny and sad.
Hey, that's funny.
Not funny was the Mets having two hits, both by Francisco Lindor, through eight innings last night in Milwaukee. Their last 12 batters had been retired, and then Lindor walked to start the top of the ninth. Brandon Nimmo singled, and Pete Alonso hit the first go-ahead homer in the ninth or later of an elimination game in MLB history. It was a three-run shot to right off Brewers closer Devin Williams. They tacked on another run to lead 4-2, but still needed to get three outs.
First pitch. Swing and a liner toward short. Picked by Lindor on one hop. Runs to second. One throws to first. Out at first. Out at first. Put it in the box. The Mets are out at the mound, pouncing on each other. The Brewers may want to have a look at this just to be sure. But if this holds, this party is headed to Philadelphia.
That's Howie Rose on Mets Radio. A fairly improbable 4-2 win in the third and final game in Milwaukee. Only the second wild card series in 3 years to go the distance. Now the Mets play game one of a best of five in Philly tomorrow afternoon. The Reds are reportedly hiring Terry Francona as their new manager, and the Dodgers are flipping their starters for the first two games of the Padres. Now it's Yoshinobu Yamamoto tomorrow, Jack Flaherty on Sunday. Caitlin Clark is the WNBA Rookie of the Year, and not sure if we're all ready, but there is NBA preseason action today. The Celtics and Nuggets playing in Abu Dhabi at noon Eastern, and the Lakers meet the T-Wolves in Palm Springs at 7:30 Pacific. J.J. Redick says LeBron and Anthony Davis will play at some point this weekend, either tonight or Sunday against the Suns. Guys, back to you.
You know, that makes sense. I did see some stuff on my timeline of guys in Abu Dhabi.
I didn't know about that. But let me ask you a question. If the Lakers have a preseason play with Bronny and LeBron, does that check that box?
No.
Why not, though? We could love the highlight. You're right, it doesn't, but that would be something.
Sure.
That'd be...
Well, here's a question. They're setting up this moment, right? The Lakers want to make this into a really big thing, and rightfully so, but they want to make it into a big thing. Do you not blow it in the preseason? You know, do you
hold
it back? Yeah.
You can't. I mean, first of all, they got to let this Bronny kid play some basketball.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. I think someone here said it. You basically have to get the LeBron-Bronny thing out of the way, then send him straight to the G League.
By the way, is J.J. Redick going to coach in the preseason? He didn't coach any of the summer league stuff, right?
No, yeah. He did not coach the summer league. I mean, he'll coach the preseason, but...
Yeah. I saw him yell at reporters. He was getting feisty with reporters yesterday. He's going to be...
About what?
About Rui Hachimura's role in the offense. I'm telling you, this is going to be an adventure in L.A.
I mean, the fact that it leaked out that... friends and family close to J.J. Redick told him not to take the job is just so funny to me.
Is it an offensive question to ask, will Rui take the next step this year?
That was the question. That
that's what
this
he
all
was
off,
asked, and he was
and
not
he's
happy
gotten
with
testy.
It.
He's trying to set the tone with the media. Like, hey, I'm going to be a tough guy.
I also think it was a follow-up to things that Rui Hachimura had said. Like, I don't think it came out of nowhere.
This is going to be a disaster.
He talked about, his season and his goals, and then they asked JJ what he thought about what Rui said, and JJ got mad at being asked about that.
Yeah, he's just going to be that. He's going to try to set, I'm going to be, I'm going to be like I don't know. Is there Greg Popovich?
Is there any chance this ends up blending with how he talks to his players? Exclude LeBron. We know that's a whole different thing. I just wonder, like, because like the answer even was, well, I only care about if he impacts winning. Well, if Bogus is saying, well, Rui wants to be more of an impact player that maybe does involve more individual accolades. Like, is this going to be a problem? Like, Rui says, hey, like, I was open. I should have got more shots. And he's like, well, did you get enough offensive rebounds? Like, I don't know if that's really going to fly.
Well, I mean, that just might be his personality.
Right.
But, you know, so LeBron and JJ did this podcast together. But one thing about the podcast was they were always drinking. And I don't know how much they were really drinking, but do you ever have those friends that, like, you've got certain friends that you always just go out with?
Yep.
And so now it's kind of like, all right, we were going out friends.
Yeah.
And now we're going to turn into, like, bookstore friends? Like, that's a different vibe.
It's a lot different. Let's go grab beers and let's get a coffee. Totally different. Like, you might sit there over the coffee with Bill and realize you have nothing to say to this person.
But then you go to the bar and all of a sudden you're like, we're back.
No, that's a great point. Will JJ and LeBron really have nothing to say? This is the awkwardness that is possibly being set up here is going to be amazing.
It's all time. Thank you, Bogish. Appreciate that. So much to do, including, we'll get to... something I didn't see coming. I'm not sure about you, Perloff, from one superstar. We'll get to that next.
Daily.
Do you believe that?
Dion.
You believe that?
All right, this portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. All right, Deion Sanders, guys, back better than ever. This is not something that has to do with the current Colorado Buffaloes, but instead, Deion was on the podcast with Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp. And the name is escaping me right now. Nightcap, thank you. He was asked, they got onto a conversation about the Dolphins, and here's Deion on the Dolphins quarterback situation.
What do you do business-wise if you're the Dolphins? Do you go into the draft and take a quarterback, which is what I'm saying, or do you say, Tua, let's check this out, let's see what we're going to do? Is his health more important than that?
Okay. So, that's an interesting question, right? I think one that we're all kind of asking about the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But here's more on Deion. Maybe Shador might be a future quarterback of the Dolphins. Let's hear it.
Let's say because of the Tua injury and things don't work out, and it leaves an open door, and they make a business decision and go into the draft, and boom, Shador to the Dolphins. Look at that.
So you just got the revelation, huh?
Hey, you see how God works?
That's why he brought it up, Ocho.
Hey, you see how God works?
He think he just thought of it.
Huh?
Don't tell him. Let him think he just thought of it.
This is interesting. Tua hasn't lost the job yet. I get it. The health situation, very dicey. But trying to shoehorn Shador to the Dolphins, have we jumped the shark a bit? Have we jumped the dolphin?
They're definitely going to be in the top 10 picks, right? Unless Tua comes back faster than we think. They're going to be in position to draft a quarterback. The problem is Tua is eating up their entire cap for the next 3 or 4 years. So if you do draft a guy, you're not going to get that rookie bump. You know, like,
right.
You're not going
to
have that.
Shador will be cheap, but you don't get to spread the money around.
Yeah, you don't
other
get to
people.
Spread the money around.
But it depends if Tua has to retire because of concussions or something like
question.
That.
Yeah, is there an out with Miami if he comes back? It looks like he's coming back. You said it the other day. Like,
I think he's
they're
gonna come back.
Itching to bring him back. If he gets hurt again, then maybe they clear that space. I think every athlete is fascinated with Miami. I mean, it's warm. You know, Deion. Obviously, the Florida connection. I feel like Miami fits everything Deion's about. This is not a surprise.
Okay, but hold that thought for a second. We're talking about Deion Sanders maybe trying to funnel Shador to the Miami Dolphins. Here's Deion March? He was on a different podcast called Million Dollars Worth of Game. And here was Deion talking about how he doesn't want Shador or Travis Hunter, sort of like an adopted son, to go to certain teams because they're losers.
All this is subjective because... I know where I want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen.
It's gonna okay, you want point?
It's gonna be an Eli.
Right. So that got a lot of attention, obviously. So Deion's gonna be very heavily involved here with where Shador goes. But I ask you, you know, Deion only wants Shador to go to winning franchises. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but does anyone think of the Dolphins that way?
Well, it's, at least they made the playoffs recently.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2000.
Yeah, you know, Miami's an exception. Obviously, Deion's from Florida. This is like, you don't put Miami in the dysfunctional thing with the Cardinals and what used to be the Lions and the Bengals. Like, they're not like that, I don't think.
No, I get it. They don't have the same reputation as the Cleveland Browns. I understand where you're every day you're waiting for something embarrassing or the Jets or something like that. But I don't think of the Dolphins also as being this model franchise of stability. You know, they cycle through head coaches. They've cycled through general managers. Their owner is a wild card.
Their owner a wild card?
They just got a draft pick taken away because they were tampering with Brady and Sean Payton. And I mean, I don't see... Listen, maybe the Dolphins will change the reputation, but I don't look at the Dolphins and think, oh, I got to go there because everything always works out.
I hear what you're saying, but I think, like, if you're pulling Dolphins have had four straight winning seasons. Like, their GM does pick good players. They just happen to get hurt. I don't know. It doesn't feel... Obviously, we understand this. Like, South Beach, Miami, like...
No, I get that the appeal transcends. Of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, they've been a solid team for a while now. This team has a lot of talent around them. Obviously, they have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Like, I don't think any quarterback dad would steer you away from Miami. It's a good warm weather. Like, you're going to have pretty good numbers there. Right? That's not a team. Who's a steer-away team? I wouldn't think Miami at all.
Yeah, no, I get that they don't have the same reputation as some other really dysfunctional franchises, but I ask you, is that... You know, do they deserve one? Again, not dysfunctional, not the silly things that have happened and self-inflicted things that have happened in other organizations, but I don't think of Miami as being this very stable, you know, organization who's like above reproach. I mean, I think at times the stadium's been empty too. It's kind of a weird, you know, stadium. It's old. I don't know. I don't see it as being this like, oh, I got to get my kid there.
I think he's talking about the interesting thing, he's clearly talking about the Raiders and the Cardinals, right? That's the...
Maybe that the Panthers, too, if they would move on from Bryce Young.
I don't even know if he's thinking about the Panthers. Like, they're probably not even in his brain. But, like, the Raiders, does he want to bring this whole act to Las Vegas? Has been talked about before. So, and I think he probably wants to avoid Arizona. That's a franchise that had a lot of problems over the years. Miami, I wouldn't... Listen, everybody wants to get to Miami.
No, I understand. Yeah. South Beach, I get it.
And also, the Florida connection is you can't underestimate that, I think. I think Miami would be a dream for Deion, because I assume wherever Shador goes.
Deion's going?
Deion, even if he's still coaching in Colorado, half his energy is going to be watching that pro team. Like, it feels like he's going, right? Like, he's part of this whole thing.
He'll go whether he's actually on the staff or not. He doesn't have to physically be in the same city to be a presence.
You know, the one thing that jumps out to me about that conversation, man, Miami's in a hole with this Tua Tagovailoa contract. This is a bad thing going on there.
855-212-4227. Everything very, very much up in the air. Also, with another superstar. We'll get to that next. Big night in sports last night. Stag and Perloff.